Marvellous, and all's well with the world, even if we're the day before Thanksgiving. It's a Thanksgiving special, after a fashion, here at the University of Lincoln's very own Siren Radio. It makes you feel good, really, after a fashion, because we should all give thanks, shouldn't we, Ilana?
Oh, absolutely. Mm. I think we should all give thanks so we can wake up to another day.
Exactly. And, because at the end of the day, if we're still alive, it means our mission on the planet hasn't finished. That's our line. That's what we're sticking to. And Matt will certainly echo that. Matt, once again, I've temporarily forgotten your surname. I've omitted it live on air, but the surname, of course, is?
Cumber.
Of course. The Matt Cumber. Don't mess around with Matt. He's a graduate from computer engineering. Oh, computer science, was it?
Computer games production.
Computer games production, which is why he's the ideal person, Ilana, to look after the university's events and be part of that crack university events team, which even at this moment, whilst you're connecting with us from California, whilst the citizens of the world are accessing the Midweek Drive, is running a sensational event with a former Guardian journalist. Isn't that right, Matt?
That is correct. So we've got Judy Friedberg here tonight.
That's Judy Friedberg. Now, does the name Judy Friedberg mean anything to you, Ilana Rain?
No, I'm still listening to the fact that he does computer game design and wondered if he wants to admit that we're actually all living in a big computer simulation.
There you are, Matt. You weren't expecting that, but that's what happens when you roll out. In fact, I have to go public and say Matt was the first person who tracked me down when I wandered over to see Future 2.0 at the Engine Shed a couple of weeks back. And like a beeline, it's like an Exocet missile that was targeted. He said, "You probably don't remember me." And I thought, I never admit to not knowing anybody, so just keep talking and I'll remember. Of course he's on the Midweek Drive. How can you ever forget a Midweek Drive? No, of course we didn't. Of course we knew you, Matt. And that was a cracking event. So, you know, were you in your element? And as Ilana said, are we indeed all living in a computer game?
I wouldn't say so, because otherwise I think we'd have a lot more variety if there was.
A lot more variety. Well, actually, I mean, yeah, there's a pink giraffe that's just wandered past the studio, so, you know, maybe that's just in my mind. What do you think, Sue? Are we all living in a computer game?
I have absolutely no idea. I'd like to think that maybe we were, but I don't know.
I just think you pressed the button and instantly you had safety pins manifesting to actually keep...
Yes, yes, so that we don't do Judy Finnegan-esque wardrobe malfunctions, yes.
Again, I'm afraid that even the words Judy Finnegan means nothing to Ilana Rain, and why should they, really? So,
it's part of the flavour. That's why I love talking to you all so much.
Exactly. It shares those cultural blind alleys phenomenally. There we are. People who are keen on, obviously, Judy Friedberg, or indeed Judy Finnegan, who hasn't actually been a great live as yet, although she's probably had a quite great life, and I'm sure will continue to do so. But Matt, you're also here to talk about the Open Day, which is coming up this very Saturday at the University of Lincoln, where people can actually come along and actually see possible subjects so that just like Tessa, just like Chloe, they might end up reading a subject here.
Yeah, that's correct. So this Saturday we've got our Open Day. Obviously it's open to any guests that are welcome. So obviously we're recruiting for students next year, so you can come along, find out more about the courses, campus tours, city tours, and find out more about Lincoln as well as the university.
And indeed, from that perspective, Ilana, have you got any questions you want to put to Matt about the Open Day and what excitements people can expect should you decide to jump on the Learjet and get the all-expenses-paid trip over to Lincoln to actually take part in the University Open Day?
Oh, well, I would love to just fly over there. That's fantastic. And thank you for arranging that at the university's expense, Alex.
There is a precedent for this. No names, but it has happened before.
I'm grateful for your generosity and excited to talk to your class about why it's a 50-50 likelihood that our entire existence is actually a program on someone else's hard drive.
Exactly. You see, that, Matt, has to be something. Even the great Ellie Sample would probably sort of say, yeah, that's true. I mean, let's face it, Ellie's writing dystopian novels like there's no tomorrow these days, so it's great stuff. Anyway.
Oh, I don't see it as a bad thing. I actually see it as quite a good thing. Take some of the pressure off.
Very true. I mean, Chloe will probably say the first time she stepped into one of my seminars for public relations, communication society, she said, what? Yeah. But you cope extremely well, Chloe, which is very good. Even when we were into sort of the way in which cyberspace is interacting and affecting our human behaviour, really.
different to what it was at the beginning. But.
Exactly. It just sort of flows through that. Tessa, would you like to quiz Ilana on what she was actually doing a week ago via remote with respect to a grand event that was happening in Los Angeles?
Yes, what was that? Tell us more about that.
Oh, well, it was actually in New York, and I was not able to be physically present there, but I was part of a show called State of Emergency, and it was a guerrilla-style projection, meaning the organizers and curators did not have official permission from New York City, from the police. There were no permits, and, you know, in the grand tradition of guerrilla art performance, it's meant to reclaim public space in order to make a statement. And we're not talking about any sort of, like, you know, criminal, egregious, you know, nothing like that, but more as a sense of public free speech and expression. And in any case, this projection was with about 60 filmmakers and video artists from around the world, and they put together clips from our work and projected it into a large display on the New Museum in New York. And it's actually quite gorgeous what happened. And the New Museum was not aware of it as well, but ultimately they ended up supporting it because, you know, it just looked fantastic. And, you know, the idea is to just underscore that the majority of Americans indeed are vehemently opposed to the policies that our current president and administration are undertaking in this country, and that we actually could be on, you know, a lot of what's happening really echoes some totalitarian and authoritarian governments and how they first got into power in terms of suppression of the press and free speech. And you know, we just wanted to remind the world, actually, that most of us disagree with what's happening, and it, you know, basically the underpinnings of our entire democracy kind of hang in the balance at this point. And there's calls to change the electoral process in our country to basically avoid what happened, because 3 million more people voted for Donald Trump's opponent, but he still won. Mm-hmm. So we just have to keep remembering that, and we can't ever let up.
Mm. So I think
I wish I could have been there, but I couldn't because I'm in post-production for my feature here in L.A., and as much as I wanted to just jet to New York for 6 hours, that wasn't possible.
Mm-hmm. Sounds great. It does.
It's a way forward, or as they actually say, hashtag stomp the ban, which is the Illuminates returning to downtown Manhattan, projecting short video clips by 60 artists in an act of community and solidarity. So making technology work for us, which is always wonderful stuff. It's one of the reasons I sent you a Thanksgiving e-card with turkeys doing the can-can.
I love it.
This was something which I kind of felt that you'd appreciate. And at the end of the day, yeah, you're one of our top correspondents from that sort of point of view. So we'd work from that. Sue, any thoughts on the artwork projection? Do you think we should do a similar thing for Lincoln Cathedral?
Do you know, I was just thinking the same thing, that art can often be a great social statement. And that sounds like it was absolutely fantastic. It sounds brilliant. I think it'd be great in Lincoln.
Well, Ilana has been in Lincoln, of course, very much part of the second Frequency Festival back in the day, and we had a screening of We Are All Cylons, which is where she's indeed sat in the very same studio that we were working in today with Nick Elliott, and which Tess presents Sound and Country Vision from. I still feel we'll one of these days get a plaque which we'll actually put on the show saying Ilana Raine has sat here. Very important.
Oh, you're so sweet. That's fine. Well, look, I'll talk to the curators and mention that she's a professor herself, so perhaps there could be some, you know, collaboration going on if you feel that that's something your university would be receptive to.
In all fairness, we would be, actually. I think that'd be good. Keeps the international thing going. It keeps us linked together and all connected. And let's face it, Chloe, you could even get involved with respect to Signet PR and do the public relations things for it as well. Chloe, any thoughts or questions for Ilana about what you've been hearing or so on?
How long did it take to just put together? Because it seems like it was quite a big statement.
Oh, yeah. Well, basically, this has been in the work for about a year. My participation was nothing. Other than I sent a film, I sorted through some older films of mine and, let the curator decide what was most important. But so I can't say I did anything more than that, but the curators themselves were at work on this for at least a year, and they did a test run at the I think it was PS1 on the rooftop. So, it's always when you're doing a massive street guerrilla style thing, you really have to get the timing right, and you have to get collaborators who really know what they're doing in terms of, setting up the equipment, staying under the radar, and allowing it to be pulled off successfully. And, and I think these nonviolent expressions and creative expressions really are the way to get voices heard, because, I think a lot of people might be tuning out to news and to pundits, because it's just this information overload. The news cycle is just, it's a bludgeon after a certain point. So, artists, stand-up comedians, I think these are the people that can actually really be on the vanguard of free speech and dissent in a positive way, and in a way that excites people, and in a way that engages people and opens it up to discussions. I mean, it's not always black and white. We need discussion, and we need to keep the creative dialogue going.
Matt, does that resonate with you in terms of debate, public sphere, and actually using arts and technology to kind of get messages across?
Absolutely. I've still got the thought of obviously everything coming to Lincoln now, and I'm having event ideas.
See
and
that?
Everything.
Yeah, that's the reason you're on the show, Matt. just kind of synthesize those little conduits through that whole basis. You see, when Julie suggested you should be part of the whole sort of system, he said, "I just do my little spiel, but ideas are generated. It's the whole networking thing." Sue, I know it's been some time, but would you like to put those last two questions to Ilana Raine, please?
Yes, Ilana, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
Oh, I absolutely adored it, yes. We should talk more.
Yeah, so you'll be coming back again in another planned occasion.
Mm. That would be great. I'd love to.
Let's say those words, even though we're British. Happy Thanksgiving. After three. Three.
Happy Thanksgiving!
Clinton has now officially been put on the broadcasting map, with Tessa Snart taking midweek drivette duties to a whole new level.
Silence at last is broken. A sound that she knows could be.
William Coles, romantic novelist, political journalist, and regular midweek drive correspondent from the capital of Scotland, with or without his prehistoric shark's teeth.
You see, we could have put in prehistoric shark's teeth for you, Sue Rice, but, you know... William kind of agitated for the whole thing, but he sent me books, you see. So I kind of had that notion, he didn't just take books away, sent them in. It'll all work out. Sorry, William. Sue Rice has been just agitating slightly because...
I'm a book napper.
And in addition to that, she has
been agitating, what, like a simmering pot?
Yeah, in fact, simmering pot is exactly what Ed Wellman has often sort of said. This is what I want in terms of motivation. I want you to be like a simmering pot of choir. Singing out there. People are listening to this. Can people turn up tonight to actually see you and Ed Wellman and the whole choir in action, Sue?
Yes, as far as I'm aware, it's £5 on the door. Yes.
£5?
Yep.
So even William Coles from Edinburgh could,
yes,
if he could fly down, get a helicopter, zoom down, Lincoln Performing Arts
Unless
Centre.
William can sing, of course, and then he can do it for free.
Hey. That sounds like an offer that's even more wonderful than a continuing series on weird bookshelves, William.
Right, yeah, I mean, can I have a solo bit? Maybe I might come down then, yeah.
If you can sing Beatus Veer by Monteverdi, yes.
But you're not a Monteverdi fan, I gather, Sue.
No.
I don't know. Well, you hum it, I'll sing it.
Splendid. Introduction to a new midweek driver, William. We have Chloe Devlin with us. Chloe is in the first year of a public relations degree and has already completed 19 minutes, 41 seconds of the midweek drive. Yay, Chloe! Oh. This morning,
very
when she woke
good.
Up, she thought she's going to have a 10-minute tutorial with me and that's it, you know. But Georgia Nixon, unable to make it. Chloe steps in there, no messing about.
Well, right place, right time.
Well, that's what it's all about. And the welcome return of Matt from the University Events team, who's going to talk about open days and might also note that line down in terms of Bill Cole's continuing series on weird bookshelves. I'll say that again, Matt, because you might have missed it first time round or done a double take and thought, what did he say? A series on weird bookshelves. I shall actually show you the Facebook status there in terms of if you just pop your head around the corner, there you can actually see the weird bookshelves. And Bill, would you like to explain why in particular, for the benefit of Tessa as well and the listener, you are doing a series on weird bookshelves?
It's an intermittent series on weird bookshelves. I am very keen on books and bookshelves, and if I go round to anyone's place, then I will automatically have a look through their books. And anyway, I was in John Lewis and in Edinburgh and in their cafe tapping away, and they've got these bookshelves, so I can sit next to the bookshelves, but gradually they start giving off this weird vibe and I can't work out what's wrong with them, and then I get what's wrong with them. These are interior decor bookshelves where all the books have been picked to make them look cool. So the spines are all either black, mainly black, or white, or grey. There are no dust jackets, and that is the vibe they're giving off. A lot of they must have a lot of remainders, because many of the books are triples or quadruples scattered over the shelves. What do we think? Weird?
Sounds like a great life to me, waiting to happen.
Not dreadfully organic, is it?
Bit of a hard sell, perhaps, but you never know. Matt, let's turn to you first as a computer specialist and events coordinator. Weird bookshelves.
Well, it wouldn't be in my game world, so it's a bit odd for me.
It's not in the world of Matt's game scenario, Bill. But it could be. Maybe there's a killer application that might be the equivalent of the teenies' Angry Birds, just waiting to be done on odd bookshelves. Bookshelves that give off an odd vibe. You know, you could actually call it Angry Leaflets or something.
I think you might be onto something there.
Yeah.
It's certainly unique. I mean, you might be starting a new trend. People might want to, like, get actual people in to rearrange their bookshelves. You know, like, some people get...
That's called a librarian.
You know how people get...
Oh, Sue, such a postgraduate tone of phrase there, honestly.
But that's because I was a librarian and I loved rearranging books.
You know, some people get professional Christmas tree decorators to come in and decorate. Yeah. Kind of like that, you know, change up the bookshelf.
There we are. Another possible round of employment for your good self if you can't make the open day this Saturday at the University of Lincoln. Tessa's not going to be on duty this open day, Matt, but again, can anybody turn up? What's the scenario in terms of the open day? I think you spoke to William and we got very confused about open day and Freshers Week a few weeks back.
Yeah, so,
just don't go there, William. I'm just alerting you. Red flag. It comes to that side of things. What can people expect from the open day, please, William? No, not William. I don't know.
This is a PG audience, Alex. You've got to be asking me.
It's true, yeah. Matt, take it over, please.
So obviously anyone's more than welcome to come this Saturday to the open day. So the day is running 10 till 3. Obviously, if you turn up and register on the day, we'll be able to give you a guide that specifies when all the talks are, everything else that's taking place. So you can find out about the whole range of courses that we do here at the University of Lincoln.
We've had some exciting news, as you can see there, Sue, with respect to our Facebook site. It's our Derbyshire correspondent from the whole thing, and she is tuned in to the show
We're cramming them in today, aren't we? It's LA, Edinburgh...
And Buxton, Derbyshire. That's what we like. You know, it's that kind of connection that suddenly sort of just makes it a little bit more worthwhile, Matt. You see, it's the way, if you talk about impact studies, you know, that's a way forward for this. Matt, any other new... Lincoln.ac.uk is presumably the best place to go to find out about coming to open days and so on.
Yeah, that's correct.
We'll just quiz it. Chloe, did you come to an open day?
I did, yeah.
And you signed up for public relations?
Yeah.
I will ask you the question why, because that's what I do.
I went to a Sheffield Open Day as well, but it just seemed a lot homelier here, and the way it was portrayed, like by Doug, he was the person, it was more exciting. That was why.
Homelier and more exciting, Matt. You can have that as a quote if you pay Chloe sufficiently.
Put it in the next guide.
There we are. It's another line forward. And Tessa, were you an Open Day, sir?
I was, yes. And applicant, I think I did both.
And applicants Open Day, of course,
did the both. And mine's pretty much the same. It's very homely. The course was really fantastic here compared to... sort of not putting any of the universities down.
Of course not.
It was perfect for me anyway.
But, you know, there is only one Lincoln University.
I've got to be biased. I'm here. But anyway, and everybody was so friendly and helpful, so that's why I chose here.
See, that's what we call win-win situations, Matt. You know, you clip those audio things, put it out there in the cyberspace, and so it's great. Actually, I was strictly speaking quite wrong when I said there's only one Lincoln Uni. Because we'll be speaking to Ray Cardwell.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be speaking to Ray Cardwell in a few moments, who's a graduate of the University of Lincoln, Nebraska.
Oh, yes, there is.
Yeah.
There's only two Lincoln Unis.
There is one Lincoln University, but ours is University of Lincoln.
This is true.
But sometimes people get confused
before you know where you are.
There's no way you could get Lincoln, Nebraska confused with Lincoln, England. I have been to Lincoln, Nebraska.
Have you?
Yes,
you
I have.
Surprised. We've had phone calls in marketing for the other university.
Good really? Lord.
Yeah. You have to be careful when typing it into a search engine, don't you? You have to get your words right.
Frankly, Tessa, I think every time you use a search engine, you should be careful. Be very careful.
Yeah.
Anyway, Sue, before you go off to sing for the world and the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre and possibly William Coles, if he has time to use his Instamat and transportation device and whiz down the 300 odd miles from Edinburgh to Lincoln. What are those last two questions, please?
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today, William?
I've loved it. It's been homier and quite exciting.
Jolly good. And will you be joining us again another day?
Just as soon as the old man asked me. Thank you.
I'm not some M character in James Bond, you know.
Your cat. You know.
No, that's Blofeld. If we're going to use textual references, let's get them correct, all right? Blofeld has the white pussy. M doesn't. He's Miles Massively, etc. And I'm not doing Judy Dench either. Still.
The white pussy, indeed.
I wondered if you'd pick up on that one, but I thought you would. Let's move on. Would you actually be doing anything for Thanksgiving, Bill, in Edinburgh? Is it just a case of no? It's American routine, we're just preparing for Black Friday.
Thanksgiving, of course, it's entirely American. No, I will not be doing anything at all for Thanksgiving, bar humbug.
And that is one of the reasons why, for reasons of balance, we thought we'd have at least one British person on the phone next today. Don't worry, any American connections, every single one of the phone outs now. Ray Cardwell, Emily Marion from the Los Angeles Zoo Association, Los Angeles Children's Chorus Artistic Director Ann Tomlinson and Phil Linus, all 100% American. So you can celebrate Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving special.
It is. It is quite literally a Thanksgiving special. It's putting the word out there for open days and more. So that's basically it, really. He has said he will return when he's not arranging bookshelves or bookshops or various other sort of factors. Ray Cardwell is up next. This is Ray Cardwell from his latest album, Sailing for Glory.
Jesus sings, singing from the fire of hell. He has set my life before me, and his spirit fills my soul. He is leading my ship to the promised land. We are bound for heaven. Hurry up and set sail. We are sailing for glory,
where streets are paved with gold.
There are mansions for his children.
Oh, such beauty to behold.
We will
sing his praise forever, live in our eternal home.
Get on board, everybody, let's set sail for the Lord. Is your soul the ship in the water being guided by the Lord? Do you feel His Spirit push you through this troubled world? Will you bring along a brother, share this holy word? Tell all of the world we are sailing for that shore. We are sailing for glory,
gold,
children, no such behold. We will
sing His praise forever, live in our eternal home.
Get on board, everybody, let's set sail for the Lord. Are you overboard and sinking in the waters of this life? Going under for the third time, full of fear and strife? Reach out your hand of faith, He will pull you in. Jesus is a lifeboat, He will calm your sea of sin. We are sailing for glory,
streets are paved with gold.
There are mansions for His children, all such beauty to behold. We will
sing His praise forever, live in our eternal home.
Get on board, everybody, let's set sail for the Lord. Get on board, everybody. Let's set sail for the low, 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 Lord.
Wondrous. Might even appear in future Sound and Country Visions. What do you say, Tessa?
But yes, I think so. I quite enjoy that.
Ray Cardwell Music is the go-to website. Ray is currently travelling. We've left a message on his voicemail. We may connect with him before the news. We don't know. Such pack. I know, it's difficult. Shall we actually give an airing to Tennessee Moon, though, which is his latest sound, and hopefully it'll work its magic and bring us Ray Cardwell wherever he happens to be driving in the United States on his cell phone to the listeners to Siren Radio and the Midweek Drive.
Tennessee Moon, I see you shining through my window. Tennessee Moon makes me think of the one I love so true. Tennessee Moon, I like the way you light this lonely night so. Tennessee Moon, you're making me so blue. There's a woman that is waiting across the rolling river, and a man that's been waiting on the other side. I'm writing a letter the postman will deliver, sending promises on paper until we turn the tide. Tennessee Moon, I see you shining through the window. Tennessee Moon makes me think of the true. Tennessee Moon, I like the way you light this lonely night so. Tennessee Moon, you're making me so blue. Tennessee Moon makes me think. think of the way I love so true. Tennessee moon, I like the way you light the slowly night so. Tennessee moon, you're making me so blue. Tennessee moon, you're making me so blue. Tennessee moon.
Say, Tess, round of applause.
Oh, yes. Fantastic.
R.W. Sanders was right. Tennessee Moon, outrageously wonderful. I can't believe it was released in January this year, so it's been out for like 11 months almost.
Oh, my goodness.
Amazing. And equally as amazing is the Lincoln University, Nebraska graduate, as we found out through discussions on email via R.W.
Oh, really?
And the aforementioned Ray Cardwell, who we're about to speak to in a few seconds, not Lincoln, England. Easily confused. Very. Ray Cardwell, welcome to the Midweek Drive. How are you, sir?
Hey, thanks a lot. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Well, you can tell that Tennessee Moon has gone down extraordinarily well. We thought Sailing for Glory, which we had a few seconds ago, was going to be good. But then you roll out Tennessee Moon.
That was brilliant. Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Emily, what did you think of Tennessee Moon?
Yeah, it was really good.
I should say Chloe, of course. I don't know why I said Emily there. Yeah, it's just
getting the names John Booth is out.
John,
it's fine.
Whoa, that's exactly. We have Chloe, we have Tessa, we have Tessa, we have Chloe. It's sort of worrying scenario.
Good morning.
Exactly. Now, where exactly are you at present, Ray? Where in the world on your travels are you?
Well, I'm based out of Nashville, Tennessee, but right now I am home in Southwest Missouri. I grew up in the Ozarks, so I'm an Ozark hillbilly, and that's where I'm at right now.
So you see, Tessa, ideal for Sound and Country Vision.
Oh, most definitely.
A prolific songwriter, Cardwell's powerful four-octave voice is in large part what has caught the ears of some of Nashville's most respected bluegrass musicians, several who lended their substantial musical expertise to studio sessions in Nashville in late 2015. I'm not making this up. It comes from raycardwell.com.
There we go.
Sorted through from that point of view.
All true.
Ray, that whole history of bluegrass, which I probably got into, and maybe others did with the Oh Brother, Where Art Thou soundtrack with Alison Krauss a few years ago, which would kind of introduce that whole thing. I mean, Tessa, where do you sit on the bluegrass system?
No, I really like bluegrass. I think it's really traditional as well. I'm a really big fan of Glen Campbell, the late Glen Campbell, and he featured a bluegrass track on one of his albums, and I really like it. It's just, yeah, I don't know. I think obviously it can be quite niche, can't it? Especially over here in the UK. But no, I really like bluegrass.
Well, great. You know, it just evolved from string bands in the early 1900s, and I think Bill Monroe gave it the little drive that made it bluegrass. You know, kind of a quick step to it, and it's just pretty much grown from his hand, you know, and it is infectious, but I like to put different styles in there too as well. I like to take little elements of folk and blues and roots music and throw it in there too as well.
Yeah, and you can really hear that in the tracks as well.
Yeah. Do you think it would go down well in Milton Keynes, Chloe?
Oh, I like it. I think it's really good, but I don't know. I feel like it's quite an American thing,
strange
isn't
as it may seem.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
On the eve of Thanksgiving Day, we're playing stuff which is quite American. Genius. It's the great thing. So the other thing we need to clarify, of course, because in case you're wondering, Matt has now left the studio. He's done his bit. He's sorted out. He's not going to return today. Sue has obviously left the studio to sing in a choir.
Yes.
And we have to ask the question, that university connection, because it was almost as much fun on social media when... I thought actually Ray did the routine on this basis. He effectively stepped aside from that system because R.W. Sanders and myself almost came to blows over arranging the time slots.
Oh, I see.
R.W. was so convinced, that actually this time in Britain, in the UK, was actually around about 3 a.m. in the morning in Missouri. And it's just, we just thought, no, it's not. It's all sort of... Finally, we got it sorted.
Yeah, you guys are ahead.
It was very convenient, but at the end of the day we all parted amicably and we all sort of thought was and you're with us right so that's important,
that's the main thing.
But the question is not so much to do with time zones, but it is your alma mater. You were at Lincoln University, because this was the thing Ray chipped over and said, oh, I went to Lincoln University, it's great. To which, obviously, RW said, no, it's wrong Lincoln. You know, it's Lincoln University.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, RW is always pushing Missouri things, and I figured, oh, he's pushing Missouri, and I went to school in Lincoln University.
Of course.
Actually, it's in Jefferson City, Missouri. Not Nebraska, but Missouri. And it was a really great school to go to. It really opened my eyes up. That's where I got my music education degree. And it's an HBC, which means a historically black college. And our gospel choir was just amazing. It was a lot of fun. It was a good experience.
It shows that quality emerges throughout. Now, Ray, I want to squeeze in one more little package and come back to you in a few minutes, because then we've got the news from the siren team, etc. We're going for Stop, Look and Listen, which I think would be very good for politicians around the world, Ray. So I'm thinking, you know, on this kind of eve of Thanksgiving, stop, look and listen. And now it's kind of, I think, I mean, I'm not sure whether you had a political line in mind for the. I mean, we're speaking to Alana Rain, obviously, at the start of the show. So you're thinking, yes, what messages to go out there. Would you like to share with us what came into your mind when you were putting together Stop, Look and Listen?
Well, it's just, you know, it's a fun song, and it's about mom sitting down with me and telling me, hey, take it easy. The first girl may like you, but she may not be the one. So that's kind of what's going on there.
So it's like relationships. It's the old hashtag Me Too. No. Don't go that way. That's inappropriate. Let's just go to take it easy. Stop, look, and listen. Yeah, Ray Cardwell, back with you in 3 minutes from now.
Okay.
So what say you, Tessa Snart of Sound and Country Vision? Stop, Look and Listen? A good tune?
I think so. Very catchy.
And from your own perspective, Chloe?
Yes, brilliant.
It's another winner, Ray Cardwell.
Yay!
All right. Yay!
Ray, how can people get hold of the album? Is it available through all usual channels for Tennessee Moon? Folk actually sort of keen to go ordinate things from that point of view?
Yeah, it's on Pinecastle Records, and you can find it on, you know, iTunes and any, you know, digital music download. It's out there, and you can also find me on raycardwell.com.
That's all you need to know. So, Ray, two final questions. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the program today?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
It's okay, it's easily done. Have you enjoyed the last few minutes here on Siren Radio?
Oh, yes. It's been great. I've
nice.
Been talking to you guys, and I really appreciate you playing the music.
So I take it we can look forward to connecting with you again in the very near future?
Hey, that'd be great. I'd love to come over there and play. You know, my ancestors are actually from Sussex.
Well, there you go. It just goes to show that British people went over to America and still actually have ancestors who, you know, connect. It's just wonderful.